The Final Play Podcast would like to welcome you to the following presentation of the National Rugby League. Hey, yo, you ready? Let's do it. Coming to you from a secret live location here in sunny, sunny North Queensland, which is kind of a cool environment at this point in time for North Queensland, but it's beautiful nonetheless.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Final Play Podcast. We'll rip through round 15 of the NRL, starting with
the diabolical Brisbane Broncos,
46-0 up against the Rabbitohs. And probably, you know, it's just under 20,000, so decent crowd.
That's, for a Thursday, you could say, yes, okay, we have 19,000 there. For a regular Broncos home game, that's near 10,000 people less than what normally shows up to a Broncos game. So that just sort of, I think that tells a little bit of the tale on how awful the Broncos are actually going at the moment.
What the hell? I went into halftime thinking, okay, 18-0, it's not too bad. Broncos, this is for me at least. The Broncos had, they weren't there, but they were thereabouts.
They were competitive, and they started off in their first 10 minutes like pretty hard hitting, and looked like that they might have, you know, that their forward pack might have actually sort of lived up, not so much the expectations, but. Do you know what I mean? To actually challenge, because we've said it all year, they've got a good forward pack. I don't understand why that's not transitioning into success in other areas. It's just, it's bizarre, but South had so much early possession in that first, 62%.
Yes, they did.
And it was, and the Broncos were shot, from not so much from the get-go, but they lost Arthurs and they lost Cobbo. Early, in that first half.
Yeah.
So that sort of caused a major reshuffle in their back line. And you don't want to give them the excuse or the out to say, oh, well, that's why we played so poor this game, because they played poor in most games this year. But to compound things, you're like, good God, like, what is happening here?
Well, I think, like you said, they've got a good four pack. Except for one, Payne Haas, who...
He's always a machine.
I don't think anybody else stepped up, especially, you know, you've got these big players that had one line break that entire game. 10 line breaks to Rabbitohs,
that's
one line
good.
Break.
Is that bad? I think that's bad.
Well, you're Tevita Pangai, so I'm sure we'll talk about in a second about, but you're Tevita Pangai's of the world. He's the one that should be breaking the line. He knows how to break the line. He goddamn knows how to offload a ball. He just goes missing.
It's the same stuff over and over again. He continually goes missing. He has good good games in patches, and then goes missing when you need a hard run, when you've got some of your backs that are trying to come off their own defensive line and try and gain ascendancy and make meters, and he's standing out in the centres doing nothing. And it's like, well, what are you doing here? Like, why are you doing this?
So my biggest thing with the Broncos, right? I mean, we can go. There's not much to go about the Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs obliterated them. Great side. Latrell, they all did what they needed to.
The best thing about that game was the Coates rundown of Dane Gagai.
Yeah, for sure.
That was unbelievable.
I think if I was a coach and they went this side at the moment, yes, it's easy to blame the way the previous coach has brought all these players on that. But my problem is if Kevin keeps doing that and he buys all these new players and these new players don't work, so he's putting himself in a hole with basically... I just have the biggest problem with someone saying that when
it's an out.
It is an out, but then you're putting yourself in a corner, by saying, well, if I get all these players and if it doesn't work out, then you've got no out. At least you can say, Well, you know,
this year was always going to be a lost year, though.
Well, it is, and that's what he should say. He shouldn't say previous players like Pengai.
But they're cleaning house. They're cleaning house.
Pengai getting told, like, literally 40 or an hour and a half or something before the game that you're no longer needed.
His post interview was interesting with Thurston on Channel 9. It was rather revealing, sort of minute and a half. Well, probably not so much a minute and a half, but yeah, close to being, you know, a minute long interview with Tevita Pengai. And you know, we'll talk about the Broncos a little bit later because they're just in total upheaval at the moment. Why have they brought in Carmichael Hunt into this side? It's clearly a stopgap, but they're not involving him in anything. He's not engaging the line. He's standing at second receiver, doing nothing. He's not doing anything. That's why I don't understand. Put him at fullback. He will get involved then because he's got no choice but to be involved at fullback. You can be so passive playing it at number six and just let Tyson Gamble go at it. Do you know what I mean? He's no involvement. He's not engaging the line. Yeah. He's not doing anything. He's standing out there at second receiver doing nothing.
Yeah.
And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Is that the game plan? Is that what Kevy's gone out there and told him to do? That's what I mean. If they don't want a Sarko there, even if it's just, like I said, a stopgap, put him at fullback. He gets involved in the game.
He is one of the few that gets involved in the game.
Why put him in there if you're not going to do anything?
He doesn't do much, but Matt Lodge got pretty involved in the game. I did notice, it's a classic Bennett move. He come out and had a little subtle swipe. Yeah,
that was excellent.
About saying, well...
Oh, really?
Well, he came here because of me. Like, because he came there. But... And now there's interest, as I'm reading right now, there's interest from the Tigers for Tevita Pengai Jr. But...
at his best, yeah. He's a pretty decent borderline, not let's say borderline great player, but we're at his best. But you don't know when he's going to get his best. He's so inconsistent.
He's getting paid $650,000 a year, which is ridiculous in itself. They're going to...
For no consistency.
They're going to have to either bite that, and my honest opinion, because he runs out next year. So do you sell him off, and you're going to have to pay someone? They're going to have to pay half.
They want a top up,
or do you just let it run out and then see what he's worth, and then clean that whole 650.
But it's not like the NBA where you can just go, oh, he's got trade value now. Like he's either got value for your team at $650,000 or he doesn't.
They're going to have to pay at least $250,000 of that, I think.
They'll have to top it up somehow.
So it's they're in shambles. I don't know. Like the Reynolds thing's a good signing, but surely he's probably sitting back thinking of like
that's a start.
It's a start, but he surely would be sitting back and going, not so much the losses. I understand the losses and all that, but just the play, you know, all the news that keeps coming out. We don't need, you know, just like what's happening in the Dragons as well. Like
that's right. How many of those players have been basically told to hit the bricks?
We might as well.
Rabbitohs were clinical.
Yeah, but and Gay Guy was one of best Gay Guy's best game I've seen this year.
And he needed that because he would have
confidence
had...
Confidence booster.
Extremely low confidence after being absolutely cooked by Latrell Mitchell, you know, last week in the Origin. So that's...
I wonder how they... It's funny. I wonder how they go to going back. Like,
Mitchell would be slaying him. Slaying him at training.
Yeah, he would be. He would be walking with the biggest smile on his face.
Oh,
like
my
straight
God.
You
wouldn't be able to wipe the smile off his face.
No, but they're great. Honestly, they're great together. I'm not putting them... Yes, it's a big win against the Broncos, but I'm not putting them as their back and all that ball.
No, they're in that sort of second tier with Parramatta,
yeah,
I guess, and maybe the Roosters that are threats. But they'd have to get on, I don't know, I think a little bit more of a hot streak per se to really challenge the likes of you know, the two runaways in the competition in Melbourne and Penrith, who, you know, Melbourne are basically overtaken Penrith, I think, as being the side that's on the hottest, not so much the hottest run at the moment, but you know what I mean. They're playing unbelievable.
Next game, she's just not going to lose.
Oh, don't.
She's not going to lose games by 2 points all the time.
This is the third game at least this year where they have the Cowboys have gotten other teams off to such a huge lead, and then try and claw and scratch their way back into the game, and then go down by 2 points. It's unbelievable. They're so fragile.
And then they got that 2-point missed field goal by Valentine.
Val was, what, 5 metres short?
So, 26-24 to the Sharkies. And look, you pretty much started straight on the head.
Fragile defensively.
They gave the Sharks such a blinding start. I don't... How anyone lets Aaron Woods over to score is beyond
me. That was so soft. Yeah, the two tries that Bowen got cooked on the outside.
Yeah.
He was so indecisive defensively, that's the problem. Yeah. And then that puts Kyle Felder at a disadvantage because he doesn't know if Bowen is going out of the line or not. And you let in soft tries out on the flanks, and you're like, for God's sakes. Then, to compound things, for 60 minutes, they had no patience attacking-wise. Because they were so far behind, they're trying to find points opportunity, and you've just got to get into the grind of the game.
They didn't, because I thought going down 8 points at a half time, yes, you have that psychological thing in the back of your head where it's you got that psychological 8 points, okay, you're gonna need to get two tries. But I think they came out trying too hard.
They let it go for so, but they let it go for so long, that was the problem. Like, it stayed at 26-12.
For
such a long time. And that's, I mean, North Queensland were just getting so much more impatient.
Well, they score for four times minutes.
In that second half. They got caught on the sixth tackle with no kick, no nothing.
Yeah.
Just the ball player wrapped up.
Yeah.
There was no... The drink water needs to sort of push Dearden aside a little bit and go, okay, look, it doesn't matter what number we're wearing, whether it's six or seven. Just push him, just... Be vocal. Push him to second receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am the primary playmaker here. And there was a couple of times Dearden got caught on the sixth tackle, and that was really telling. And then it became abundantly clear inside the last 10 minutes. It's like, oh hey, let's play some football now. Like, we've got a little bit of pressure on the line. That Kyle Feld scored 2 tries in 2 minutes.
Yeah,
that first try or the second try that he scored, where there was not even a meter between the defender and the corner post, and he plays it at a dummy half and just goes doink and just places it right there to get him back, to basically get him back in the game. And to for it all to come down on a 40 meter attempt, which is so hard, but you know, the one where they beat the Broncos by that one pointer, Val hit that so sweet, but his foot was on the 40-meter line, so it was only 1 point.
Yeah.
It must just be that psychological thing where it's, if you're a couple of meters behind, you feel like you've got to put absolutely everything into it. And it fell 5 meters short, thereabouts.
Yeah.
But the Sharkies, I didn't think they were anything special.
No.
All they did was capitalize on North Queensland's mistakes.
That's exactly what I had down here. I will say, Dearden, Tom, he didn't have a... He had a pretty decent game. He set up a try assist. He had a line break assist himself as well.
He scored too.
And he scored as well. So he did it, like, you know, that's obviously clearly one of his best games this year, purely because he had nothing at the Broncos, unfortunately.
Well, and that's the thing, now he's getting a little bit of a spotlight shone on him because he is a mid-season transfer and he's not running around in the Q Cup. You know, he's playing first grade, so he's getting TV exposure. So, I think the glaring sort of killer at the end of the game was the Reece Robson sin binning of a very much burrowing Aiden Tolman, and there's shoulder contact to the head. I personally didn't think there was a whole lot that Reece Robson could do about it, yet he gets binned, and that really sort of took away, because that was it. That was the third tackle, and Cronulla was still inside their 10. So North Queensland were just piling on the pressure to keep them down in that half.
Yeah.
And then that comes out, boom, the pressure's released, there's a penalty, Robson gets binned, and that essentially shoots them in the foot.
There's probably nothing he could have done about it.
What could have you done about it? Aiden Tolman is no higher than your knees.
No, I understand that, but there's nothing he could have done about it, but you... Again, they have to go with their consistency.
It's not so much consistency. It's common sense.
Yes, but
put him on report if it's contact to the head. But to bin him,
yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it. As we go along to the next two games,
yeah.
The next Friday night game and the first game on Saturday all had basically the same situation where there's a falling player, they get hit high, and the player that's hit them high gets binned, and it's ridiculous. There's no common sense. Just put them on report. Let the match review committee deal with it. They didn't deserve and need to be sent for 10.
Tabadai Fadai, getting that HIA at 22 minutes. Yeah, he didn't come back, so...
Granville played centre for 60 minutes.
So I think that
hurt. And played well.
Yeah. No,
because look at where a lot of the offence from Cronulla was going. The opposite side. Because you're not beating him defensively. You'll beat him with a bit of speed.
No. But I felt that having that extra attack scathed them a little bit too. You just sort of noticed. But that's where Kyle Felt sort of took over, I think.
No, that's right.
What he needed to. The next game.
Room service.
While we're here, room service. It was the one you were just talking about. Panthers beating the Roosters 38-12.
Boy, didn't the Roosters slap Penrith right between the chops in that first 15 minutes of that game.
Smashed them. Absolutely.
And it was not so much the first time that we've seen Penrith rattled a little bit this year, but I think they sort of like, okay. Like we're in for this. We're not just gonna coast through and just roll over the Roosters like we've rolled everybody else over the past 8 weeks.
Yeah, no, they didn't. And they started off well. That is it Kerrigan? Adam Kerrigan?
Kieran.
Kieran. Adam Kieran. He's a
good kicker too.
He is a pretty good kicker too. So, the little decent sort of... Yeah, well, hooker.
Plus they had Sam Verrills on the bench as well. So, I think that helped the Roosters that they actually have sort of a recognised... person who's got prior first grade experience. Do you know what I mean? Like Kieran hasn't got that much first grade experience.
No, but he's a very good. Everything I read on him, just reading up.
He's a good player, but
he's a sharpshooter goal kicker.
Yeah,
he's a very very good goal kicker of what I've read. So, but then like you just said, Penrith did what Penrith did. Turned it around.
Wet old weekend in Sydney.
Took over the game, and
that. The thing was, the weather didn't really come into play in that game. Do you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't a whole lot of, crummy mistakes. Like, we go into the next game, with Newcastle and the Warriors. That was ordinary in the rain. Game was like it was played in a nice, dry, fast track.
Because you've got two really good teams.
No, that's right. And the Warriors and Newcastle are clearly not the best team. Like an offensive struggle. We'll get into that in a minute.
Once they were down, Cleary controlled that game. Cleary,
how did Cleary miss going for a HIA? Did he miss going for a HIA?
He
got hit twice.
Yeah.
Once by Taukeiaho, and that was the sin binning one. And I can't think of who the other one was that hit him late.
Once they do the checks, and if he's fine, he's fine. That's it. You move on. So
I think that's... I don't know. I don't want to be tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist, but I think that's rather odd that, especially the Taukeiaho hit that he got binned for, he looked like it rattled him a little bit. But once again, he was falling. Taukeiaho's hit him with his shoulder. Didn't deserve 10. Put him on report, all well and good. And then once Taukeiaho went off, Penrith ran right. Two tries, a penalty, and put the game just not so much out of reach for the Roosters, but that totally gave them all of the momentum after that.
Oh, 100%. He has to be... I mean, I know we're sort of close to halfway through, but surely it has to be a foregone conclusion that he's Dally and Player of the Year. Sure.
I don't see who's going to knock him off.
The other thing I wanted to point out, because we said it last week, and I'm sort of... It's not really trampling... Well, I will. I'll trample on my start of the week. It's easy... I don't care. It's easy to pick out Cleary, but Matt Burton, again...
How good was that footwork that he had to put Tao in for the second try?
He had set up two more line breaks and two more try assists. That kid...
He's playing like a machine.
I'm guaranteed that they're going to get a bargain, the Bulldogs. I don't know what they pay for him, but I guarantee he's going to be worth more later.
Bulldogs supposedly are sniffing around Sean Johnson too. I don't know how true those rumours are. That's an interesting...
Burton and Johnson, I know what we're both going to say about Flanagan, and it's bullshit. But Burton and Johnson would be a very, very good...
Absolutely, team. but you're not setting yourself up for the future. Like, that's the problem. That's the problem.
What has he done? He was like touted like the next everything. The next New South Wales.
He was going to be Brock Lesnar. He was going to be the next big thing. But he's just fallen into a heap, and he's not getting a guaranteed title shot at SummerSlam or anything like that. But you know, he was touted as he's going to be the one, and he's going to be the one to lead this Bulldogs tied out of the depths of the cellar, and you know, up, yeah, you know, and raise them up, and then the signing of Matt Burton, I think that is going to be a dynamic young halves partner. So I just don't really think or you know how well that Johnson would fit there, but I guess we're sort of getting a bit sidetracked there with the Bulldogs. But
well, we'll talk about the next game because I want to talk about Penrith and Storm later, because
the Roosters made running forward so difficult in that second half against the Panthers, like that really hurt them.
I still think as dynamic as he has been as an 18-year-old, I think Walker's still got, well, he's 18, he's still got some growing, and
he's got two shoulder injuries at the moment
leading to do kind of thing, you know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah, for sure. But he's at a successful club at the moment, and that's the best situation to be put in.
And
what happens when Luke Keary comes back?
Well, I'm more interested... I'll just finish on this. I'm more interested... They spent all this money and all this hype on this Joseph Suaalii. They've got all these injuries. He's got all this hype.
He's playing.
Oh, he's playing, but he's not playing like the hype that came with him.
Of course, he's 17. Like,
so is Sam Walker's 18. Playing at halfback, the most difficult position in rugby league. I'm not culling him yet. I'm just saying it'd be interesting to see after this season if he progresses. Because if he doesn't...
Clearly he's got a lot on his plate at the moment. He's still at school and do you know what I mean? So he's still got all that on his plate. So once he's out of there and, you know, he's got not so much a clear mind, but... You know, once he's out of the school system and he can really 100% concentrate on football, then he should be okay. So I think, you know, we'll cool the jets.
I can't train
at the moment. But
I
can't. Yeah.
I mean, he's 17, so I'm not going to like rain on a kid. No. But speaking of rain, the next game was the first Saturday game. Dire rain in Newcastle.
Man, it was very squally.
Yeah. 10-6, they beat the Warriors, but I will say both teams, their completion rate wasn't as bad as I thought, especially Newcastle at 85%.
They were, both teams weren't really taking advantage of the breeze at their back.
No, they weren't.
In both halves.
No, they weren't.
A couple of times that they've sort of kicked, both teams sort of kicked early, especially when they were sort of running, I think it's to the northern end of McDonald Jones Stadium there in Newcastle. They just couldn't squeeze out, you know, eke out the 40-20. Reece Walsh had a couple of times where he's kicked early and hasn't quite got there. The kicks have been massive, but they haven't quite got there.
Yeah.
Pierce, you know, tried the same thing. You know, they got some troops back this week, Newcastle.
Yeah, they did.
Tex Hoy, our boy, was the 18th man. Basically got scrapped for Kurt Mann to go into the fullback position.
And they put a young Dominic Young.
And Dominic Young, what a whiff. What a whiff on the U8 can try.
Yeah.
He had him beat. He caught up with him so quick and then just tried for a stupid ankle tap and just whiffed. And then all of a sudden, Jaden Brayley's got to try and chase him down. Which he's already done. He's already done a crazy chase down, you know, early in that game on Reece Walsh, and then he had to try and chase down Ewan Aiken again. He must have been gassed, but
he's a big, he's for a 19-year-old, and
he's
a
unit.
Side,
but he's massive. He lacks a little bit of impact at the moment. Well, like he's a big body.
He's 19. Yeah. It's a bit. Yeah. Yeah.
He's
no,
a
I
big,
agree.
Oof, unit.
Yeah, he is a unit. It was that kind of game. I don't hate 10-6 games.
No,
as they are.
But it wasn't a poor. I don't think it was a poor looking 10-6 game.
No,
like
I don't think
both
so.
Teams, I think were fairly good defensively. Like to say that where they weren't throwing a lot in attack would be an understatement. But a lot of the times, both teams were coming off their own line to try and win the territory battle. The one thing that sort of come out of this game for me statistically was rather scary that this season in the first 20 minutes, Newcastle have been outscored 80 points to 4 this season.
Wow.
Out of 14 rounds before this one. So for them to sort of only be down and, you know, inside 20 minutes, there wasn't a whole lot of point scoring going on. The Ewan Aiken try was a little bit later on in the half. That's just a gritty win for Newcastle. Players playing out of position. Kurt Mann ended up rolling his ankle. Connor Watson, Mr. Fix-It at the moment, had to go back to fullback. So I think Pierce and Clifford will be better for the run together.
I think so.
I think this year that's going to have to be their primary focus in trying to get those two to gel and click.
Yeah,
and I think they'll be much better. Clemmer came back this week, came off the bench, and both Saifidi brothers were your two starting props. Fitzgibbon had a bit of an ordinary game to start.
Yeah, a little bit.
And that sort of put Newcastle on the back foot a little bit. Look, Reece Walsh wasn't super safe under the high ball in that game as well, but I've been a Clifford detractor. His bomb is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And to be in that sort of weather, wet weather, squally, swirling wind, I don't think it would have mattered whether he was back there or two of Arsashek was back there.
No, that's right. I will say, just on against the Newcastle side, I think it was pretty fair, but right at the end, their turning point was their successful challenge on that penalty, that crowding penalty, at the end there. They did a challenge and it ended up being unsuccessful. New Zealand may have had a chance.
They burned their challenge. They had to burn their challenge because the two of us, the check was trying to challenge a dropout call.
Yeah.
Which he actually said to the referee, no, they'll check that, right? I don't need to burn a challenge on this. And the referee was adamant. It's like, no, I've called that. It's come off your thigh, so it's a dropout. So they had no choice but to challenge it. And I think the point of it was he's been pushed in the back by Fitzgibbon.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't. Fitzgibbon is just reaching around to try and pull the ball back in. Thanks again, room service.
We're still not saying where the secret location is, but let's say it's room service. I agree, but it's funny that they were able to challenge on their successful challenge.
Yeah, that's like Uber Eats. We should be getting Uber drinks.
Oh, we'll get another Uber drink soon. I'll get up when I announce the score of the next one.
Again, the situation come around with the falling player and a sin bin. It's just such ridiculous. There's just no common sense to it. And I just found it odd that it was three games in a row. Both games on Friday night and the first game on Saturday. And that really just got under my skin a little bit this week, just in regards to
I don't think it's odd. I think it's just, it happens, if you notice, but it happens at the start, then the media come out, and then it sort of peters off towards the end. So I don't think it's actually uncommon as...
No, it's just...
It's annoying. It's terrible to look at. Next game. I still can't work this out because the Dragons beat the Raiders 22-20. I can't say I can't work it out. The Raiders gone back into their shell of what they usually do in the second half and lose the second half when they win the first half.
Just a bounce back game, really, because the Dragons were pretty poor against the Bulldogs last week. And this was a super bounce back game for them. To me, the glaring thing was Ben Hunt playing himself into that number 14 jumper for Queensland.
And you know who else played pretty good in that as well? And he's only his second game back. And he won't push this year, but Jack DeBellin.
Jack DeBellin. And, you know, the funny thing is, too, this is the third game in a row now that Jack Bird has been playing in the second row. And he hasn't been too bad either.
It's funny you bring up Jack Bird. I didn't realise... I don't know if it was on purpose or what the hell happened. My God, that guy's put on weight.
Mm.
What the hell happened?
He's thick.
What? But I'm not saying he's thick like muscly. Thick.
No. But
not saying he's fat either.
No, but he's got a bigger body on him. Maybe that's why Griffin has moved him into the second row. We need to use that, you know, little bit of extra, you know, beef, so to speak. You know, maybe there's a KFC just up the road from his house. I don't know. I don't know how many McDonald's there are in the greater Sutherland Shire area. I'm not sure. Somebody might be able to fill us in on that.
I found the stats. So he's 180, so he's a couple of centimetres taller than me. He was around that 89 mark, which is, you know, 85, 89 mark, which is pretty...
He'd have to be pushing 100 kilos now,
wouldn't
he? No, he's
96. But that's, you know... So
close enough.
I mean, clearly they've just said, maybe they probably just said to him, you aren't going to play centre. Let's put you in the second row. But the only way you're going to be in the second row is probably put more beef on it. But
I mean, possibly.
I mean, he's playing okay. You know, that their forward pack is pretty good. You still, you know, you got your Paul Vaughans in the world, who's just fallen off the radar, by the way.
Oh, and
Andrew McCullough, Tarek Sims, who's had a rebirth, Jack Byrne, and then you'll throw in Jack DeBellin at the lock. He's just slowly coming back, but. Yeah,
Look, Josh Kerr playing up front. I didn't really like the decision him playing, essentially at that prop position.
Yeah.
I think he sort of lacks that little bit of impact. I don't think he's got that kind of heavy hit in him to be able to create that good go forward for him. But I thought what the interesting part of this is was the glimpse at the future in Tyrell Sloan.
For the Dragons. Yeah.
So
I thought you were gonna say the other side of the club. Yeah, he was good.
He had loads of family there. He scored a try on the boot. He looked very good. Once again, he could be probably visiting the same KFC that that Jack Bird's been going to, just to put a little bit more beef on, but beef or chicken, you know, either or. But that looked like the future. I'm not sure if Anthony Griffin has sort of given in to the temptation of, well, we know that Dufty's out the door. I didn't catch any of the pre-game stuff for this game, so I'm not 100% sure why Dufty wasn't there. I don't know, because he was named earlier in the week.
Nothing came out. Nothing was
said. Nothing was said throughout the game. That's, I mean, I didn't catch the pregame.
But nothing was said pregame either. So, what about on the other side with Canberra? What do you think?
They just did typical Canberra things again. They couldn't find the right plays in the clutch moments in that second half, especially in that final 15.
And that to me came down with. They're going to have to go. Like, there's so many on this market. They're going to have to work out what they're going to do at halfback. Sam Williams had an absolutely terrible game. He doesn't run the ball that much. Granted, you've got White in there who runs the ball.
I mean, he's an okay backup, but he's not.
He's not a starting.
He's not the guy, I don't think, to be there. And I've got a funny feeling that he's played quite a few first grade games too. He's played. Honestly, I don't know how he's gotten this many, and not to say that he's not a good player. Next week will be his 100th first grade game.
Yes, it will be. Jesus Christ!
Exactly. When I saw that during the game, wow. And it popped up during the game that he's had this was his 99th first grade game.
He's 30.
I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned that he'd played that many.
And his debut. So he hasn't moved sides. Oh no! So he did. His debut club was Canberra. Then he went to St. George.
He was at the Dragons for a little bit, and then he's gone back to Canberra. So.
Wow.
That sort of shook me a little bit to go, oh, okay, cool, no worries. But
I think their future's at, and this is why I don't think they're going after Duffley. That Bailey Simonson again had a pretty good game.
Yeah, pretty good.
He's pretty good.
And look, you can't go past what Nickel Clock's dad
brings
to that side.
No. He was good as well.
So it's just a matter of key guys in that side aren't in the most terrific of form. They've got one good prop and not two. You know, so they've got Papali'i playing well. You're not getting a whole lot of out of your second row as Tarpany is up and down. You know, Elliot Whitehead is a little below his best. Jack Whiten is not at his best at the moment. He probably will be at his best over on the weekend if he gets a little bit more game time.
But he just hasn't been his best all year.
No, not really.
And it's hard. You can't blame someone comparing to the Dally M because he got the Dally M last year.
That's last year.
I know, but I get that. But you get a Dally. You can't regress that much. That's all I'm getting.
The team has. That's the problem.
He's
a he's a product of the success or lack thereof of what Canberra's doing at the moment.
Yeah, but that's not to me the sign of a star player.
You can only do so much. Have a look at Thurston the last couple of years. It was at the Cowboys. He still stood up, but the Cowboys were awful.
I get that, but you can see how much that's a difference. You say Thurston, you can see how much Thurston would try. Does try. Nearly gets men of the match even in the losing side, where I don't think Jack White, and you can't compare him anyway, obviously. But
no, well, there's no compare. I'm just saying as a comparison play-wise, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a comparison.
I love Jack White. I think the more he runs, the better.
I think Sam Williams is an okay controlling half.
Yeah.
But It's like you said, that's the thing that sort of stunned me about he's been given, you know, 99 chances, at a first grade spot. Not a lot of NRL players get to 100 first grade games, and he's going to get there. So I think, you know, congratulations to him for not next week, but it'll be the week after if he's named at the halfback for Canberra.
Oh, he will be.
Next week, well, they've got no other choice, have they? So,
and there's more ugly stuff coming out about other Williams too, apparently. But anyway, that's
getting very stinky.
We won't digress into that. Then we'll finish on the last Saturday game, which was the Storm. Oh my God, they 40-0 halftime. They end up winning 66-16.
Oh man,
poor Tigers.
That was just they had in the. I mean, it's funny, but it's not. Sorry, Tigers fans, but it just in the first 15 minutes,
it's funny.
They were 0 from 2 completion wise.
Yes,
they'd had like 5 total possessions.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not the 0 from 2.
It's not the 0 from 2 sets. It's the 5 total
correct
possessions of the ball.
Yeah,
and Melbourne just continually attacked their Melbourne's left edge attack. And it just kept bearing fruit, and it was just like, why would you stop? They're breaking the line everywhere. They were just in to and fro. Do you know what I mean? They were all over the shop defensively, the Tigers, and Melbourne just took advantage and just tore them absolutely to shreds.
And what I loved about Melbourne is that not one player stood out. Every player was phenomenal. Every player to me was absolutely phenomenal. It was absolutely. Oh my God!
Even without Jesse Bromwich.
No, yeah, that's true. Even without Jesse Bromwich, but they.
And but that's the thing. How are they getting this done with the likes of the players that are missing?
I mean, there's only we can say
Harry Grant's been hurt in this game.
We can say it all the time, but I mean, there's really only one. It's only one reason, and it's Bellamy.
Of course it is.
I would be paying him the ends of the earth to just. I mean,
of course you would.
You know, to finish 88% completion rate is phenomenal. Every stat, every single stat's loaded. It's absolutely missed tackles. They had 14 missed tackles to 40 missed tackles. Like it's just I mentioned it before, but I do not see. I really now do not see any other two teams in the grand final but Penrith and Melbourne. I
don't think
never seen. I don't remember. I don't know about you,
But in the so many years in the past, I've never seen two teams that are a step above every other team this much.
No, because usually the NRL
sort of splits out in the finals on that. But I've never seen two teams
such a runaway.
Well, they are. I'm not going to put Eels in yet because they haven't beaten these kind of players.
No, they knocked off Melbourne in round two. We've said that before. That was sort of their defining game of the season. Yeah, but they've been.
Yeah, and Eels will be there. They'll push.
They'll be there, and it'll be.
We'll talk about them next. But I don't. Oh, I just. I don't see it. I do not see any other team beating
it.
It feels
a foregone conclusion that that's going to be the grand final this year.
As far as we know, like you said with like Harry Grant and that, but Bellamy could be just as smart as what they do in the NBA and possibly load managing.
It's player management.
Why not? He knows he's going through an origin period. He knows that Harry Grant, well, he won't be in this one, but he knows that Harry Grant will be in that origin frame. Why not?
Yeah, I guess so, but I think it's a legitimate injury because he hasn't been picked
for
Queensland. That's the dummy half stocks, I guess, sort of have taken that little bit of a hit. Obviously with Reed Marnie not being there, we'll get into the origin sides, a little bit later.
I'm so glad, yeah, because I want to talk about Dale Finucane. I'm so glad he got names. He had another blinder.
Whether he plays or not.
He had another blinder for Melbourne. Hopefully he gets in that squad 17, but
since he's been at Melbourne, he's just been the consummate professional.
He has.
There's nothing else really to say. Like, he just puts his heart and soul into the game, and you know what you're going to get out of him every week, and that's the bottom line.
I just find it amazing. Like, I don't know what's going to happen after this season, but I find it so amazing that you have a Queensland hooker that can't even. Yes, he's had injuries, but he still can't crack into that 17 because you've got a very good dummy half.
That's New Zealand representative.
That just shows you how good that Melbourne
squad is. Brandon Smith just shows you how good Brandon Smith is.
Next game was the Eels beating the Bulldogs 36-10. That was the first Sunday game.
I thought the rain let both teams down a little bit early. Both teams are sort of a little bit mistake riddled to start the game until
another bumper crowd at Bankwest.
Oh, they've been getting good crowds there lately.
I could see an origin there. I mean, it happened. Absolutely. Yeah, I could see it. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a 37,000 seated stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you don't have to move it too far away from. But the problem with that is that you've always got ANZ Stadium there. But that's if and when they ever do the refurb there, which they were meant to be doing before we had a ridiculous pandemic sort of, you know, grip the world. They had no choice but to sort of can that. But, you know, that could be, an alternative because obviously they've demolished Allianz Stadium. So the next biggest stadium in Sydney is the SCG.
Yeah, that's true.
And then you've got Bankwest.
Yeah, that's true. There's a turn back for form for that Isaiah Papali'i. He was pretty good in this game.
I mean, he's been good all year, but
he's good. Yeah, he plateaued a little bit in between, but he's been good generally all year.
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought Canterbury did well to sort of, you know, again. So that's right. And the two games that they'd won prior, they were up at halftime. So whether or not the commentators there were sort of. Yeah, pushing for a Bulldogs victory just by putting that out there. But look, they finished the half strong.
Yeah.
And they challenged Parramatta on their goal line without being super dynamic and putting a whole lot of points on. But still be up 10-6 at halftime was a testament to them. But just the play that sort of turned everything around was that penalty try.
Yeah.
Just Avarillo, he turned around to sort of pass on the last tackle, basically throws it straight into Dylan Napa, and then gives Dylan Napa a glare as if to say, what the hell are you doing? It's like, nah, dude, you're the one that's passing it. Like, that was one of the worst passes out of dummy half I've seen.
Yeah.
And he hits Napa. The ball spills onto the ground. Moses picks it up and then gets pulled back. For me, I don't like the call of penalty try because there's 15 metres before the ball gets anywhere near the... before he can get to the ball to the goal line. It's too far away. There's too much that that ball can do. And people that are coming across... I get it. There was nobody in front of him. But you can't say that he's going to pick the ball up and score. Look what happened last week. He had everybody fooled with his poker face and thought that he'd scored. And he dropped the ball over the line. So you can't give it a penalty try. It's a 10 in the bin. And yeah, I think it was Hetherington that pulled him back a little bit.
Yeah,
you give him 10 in the bin. Yeah, and you carry on from there rather than just gifting them 6 points. It was just very befuddling the way that sort of play all came about. You know, obviously with the poor pass at a dummy half and then the penalty try given.
Yeah, well, that was...
I just didn't like the call. As soon as they said, he said, I have a penalty try. So it's like, no, that's absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong.
I guess they see it now that as... because I know you tend to mention this all the time, but they basically...
it's got to be on beyond doubt.
No, I get that, but they basically now look at it. I get what you're saying, but I see it as they basically see it now. That is, if no one's in front, there's 15 metres or 10, 15 metres there, then it's a foregone try. And which is dumb. I get what you mean, because you don't know how fast people are in the last 15 minutes. So, I wanted to point out, even though he was on a losing side, how good Dylan Napa's game was when you mentioned him.
No, that's right. That's his best game this year.
He only played 36 minutes, and he ended up getting 180 metres.
That was his best game this year.
I think he topped it for... 164 metres, topped the Bulldogs in 34 minutes. I've always liked Dylan Napa. I mean, he's probably regressed a lot, and that, you know, that happens in losing sides. But he was good. The Eels have the credentials. They'll push those two we mentioned before. You know, they're sitting third. Those three are probably entrenched. You throw the Rabbitohs in there as well.
Yeah, but
those three are probably entrenched. That's pretty much your 1-2-3 really at the end of the day. No matter what order it is, could be, you know.
Oh, no, I don't think that's really going to matter.
No.
Because you're still going to have to go to Penrith or go to Melbourne for a grand final qualifier. So you're not going to be knocking on the top two. So that's where those sort of, you know, the Rabbitohs and the Eels will sort of come into play once the finals come around. I don't see too much losing, even though Penrith sort of dropped two in a row throughout this Origin period, but I don't see too much happening when it comes to those sides losing a whole lot when it comes to the end of the season. So they'll be entrenched in the top two, and that's what I mean. You'll have to go to either Melbourne or Penrith for a grand final qualifier. So that's going to be, you know, tough in itself.
Well, their test will be next week. They play the Penrith Panthers on Friday next week. So
the thing is, that's with you guys backing up from Origin. So
yeah,
that's an opportune time, I think, for Parramatta to get Penrith to try and spring something on them. So that could be a really good game on Friday night.
That wasn't really thought out. The Thursday night games.
It doesn't matter like this. I get it, but they've got to play each other sooner or later. But yeah, that's
Roosters are playing the Storm. That's the other one as well on Thursday night. Jesus Christ, that's going to be. Oh, I suppose you got Sunday. I only thought they were playing Wednesday then.
Yeah, so they got a 4-day rest.
Yeah.
Well, those two teams that play on Thursday anyway.
Last game was the, you know, another big score, I guess, for Manly, smashing the Titans, 56-24, 80 points in that game.
I mean, all you can do is shake your head. The Gold Coast had 71% of possession in that first half, were 23 of 23 completion in that first half.
Yeah.
And only being ahead by 16... And not to say that I was worried, because, you know, I think that they finished that first half well. The Gold Coast piled on the pressure. Jaden Campbell set up two tries with kicks. Yeah, one was a ricochet kick, so you can't really say that that was a little element of luck. But look, to just that what I saw in that game as well was the Gold Coast spreading the ball from side to side very effectively, sideline to sideline, to try and make Manly work a little bit
in the first half.
In the first half. Now it was always going to come down to when, not if, when possession even up, because it always happens.
Yeah.
And once that second half come around, and 24-8, that's, I mean, Gold Coast would have been, you know, smiling from ear to ear in that first half. Holbrook would have been, you know, let's hold the line, let's try and and just, it just got off to the worst possible start in the second half for the Gold Coast, with early tries, with no defensive steal at all, and it just 100% opened the floodgates.
Reuben Garrick was peppering that sideline.
Four tries for Garrick, three tries for Trbojevic. It was an unbelievable.
It was
second half. Like I've never seen anything like that.
It was 48-0 in that second half. It was absolutely unbelievable.
Gold Coast had no ball in the second half. Everything was just going Manly's way, and Cherry Evans. It was a bit of a tale of two halves when it comes to Cherry Evans as well. Yeah. Like, he was nitpicking the referee, talking to him all the time, you know, trying to get into his ear, and the referee was having none of it. And then all of a sudden in the second half, everything's going his way. He didn't want to know the referee. He's just like, we're cool now. It's all good. We're destroying this team now, so we don't need the referee's help anymore. Go away.
What's weird is, there were certain stats, obviously, that played in part for them losing so much, like 11 line breaks to 2. But they didn't, you know, you put any other side up against them, they didn't play that bad. They only got 100% incompletion rate.
The Gold Coast had, like, two errors.
They didn't have a lot of missed tackles. Like,
no, that's the thing. If they had to put that performance against, a lesser side, do you know what I mean? Not on side a side that's on such a hot streak and got... You know, the arguably the informed player in the league at the moment.
I would say he's the informed
player. But, you know, if they put that kind of performance, say, maybe up against a Roosters, which, you know, the week before they did.
Yeah.
And they were a shandy off winning that game. So for them to sort of have that sort of, the second half lapse, I guess, was a little bit disappointing.
It was.
For the Gold Coast, because, they really came out, a house of fire. In that first half, and then that it was a decent crowd there at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, 14,500
there. Yeah, like, you know, to say
on a Sunday night.
It's Sunday afternoon. I think that's a decent crowd.
Yeah, I thought so. I think I've already made mine. My start of the week was Matt Burton, and just because I think that kid's going to be. I really believe he is going to be a superstar. Who's going to push Sally M and all that? It's going to be hard to break into a New South Wales side, but...
Look, all we can do is be in form and ready, and injuries could possibly... But just have a look at the Queensland side now. Like, injuries those positions, and it's granted opportunities for young players.
Yeah.
To me, start of the week for me, it was not so much... that how well these guys actually played. It was just two plays that happened for these two guys. So I've got two studs of the week. Xavier Coates, that chase down on Gagai was, to me, the try saver of the year, not the game saver of the year, because people will say that the two of Arsashek hit on Jordan Rapiner.
Yeah.
He knocked the ball out of his head. That was a game saver. This was the best... try saver I've seen. And then on Saturday, Jaden Brayley chasing down Reece Walsh.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. Yeah, he nearly threw him in a touch.
Yeah.
Like, that was such great plays. And it was disappointing that there wasn't...
I'm surprised. Yeah, no, I'm surprised Reece Walsh didn't have enough pace.
No.
Actually.
For Jaden Brayley.
He
hunted him down good.
That is true, actually. It was interesting. I'm sure we'll talk about him later,
giving stud of the week to Tom Trbojevic is being boring now.
No, we're not doing that. See,
it's boring.
I keep saying, Cleary, but Tom can push Cleary big time.
If Tom didn't miss so much at the start of the season,
yeah, he can.
He could be. He
you
could
keep
be
in a lot of 3 points, you know, but they're clear.
Oh, he'd be racking up the 3 points at the moment.
What did you have down for the dud of the week?
I mean, we just talked about him before.
Yeah,
Gold Coast just monumental collapse.
Yeah.
Against Manly, that's just. Yeah. It's. I won't say that it's. I'll go as far as saying it's unforgivable, but Gold Coast, they need consistency, and to be able to push a side like Manly, the only problem that I'd sort of had with it, yes, they pushed Manly, but they had so much possession, and it's always going to even up, and for that to just, people are coming out and starting to go after Dave Fifita. He had such a hot start to the year.
He didn't have a bad game, that's right.
But he petered off a little bit just before he was suspended and a couple of games after he was suspended. So people are out there boo-hooing, oh, he's only taking on, you know, the small players on the flanks, you know, like that. Oh, so you don't want to exploit mismatches. Oh, okay. What do you think Willie Mason did for the first 7 or 8 years of his career?
That's all he did
was run at outside backs.
Yeah.
So it worked for him pretty well. That's just a little example, but that just... That's the point of it. You're taking advantage of a mismatch, or just run and hit it up the middle. Not everybody's designed to do that.
No, I think they.
I want David Fifita to do that.
No, I think he had a pretty good game. I think if for them still to blow that kind of lead,
to just be so weak.
This is not in him, but this is where you have like a 5'8" or a halfback.
I still like
Ash Taylor. That should win the game for you.
I still like the combination of Fogarty and Taylor. I think they're the most dangerous halves combination that the Gold Coast can put on the field. But them not having AJ Brimson and having an inexperienced Jaden Campbell at fullback stunts them a little bit. And also Aaron Clark at dummy half is when Mitch Rain is getting the ascendancy over. Over the advantage line a bit. I like the way that he plays. I'm not totally sold on Aaron Clark being the long-term dummy half there. We said it at the start of the year. That was a gaping hole that the Gold Coast needed to address. And I think they got screwed around a little bit by Cameron Smith not coming out there.
As far as we're aware.
But do you know what I mean? But for him to not come out there and just squash it straight up and go, hey, I'm not playing. I'm not playing for you. I'm not playing for anybody. And they had their hopes up big time.
I said that
for Cameron Smith.
That'd be a cheeky place for like a Moses and Bide to go. Slot in the nine, maybe, you know, possibly.
He's not a nine though.
He's not a nine.
They need a class act at nine, and I think that will tip them over a little bit. Some better play out of dummy half, some more engagement from dummy half, on the markers and. The defensive line, because it's too inconsistent at the moment.
No, I thought Fifita was fine. I just think you has other players.
He's been getting better. Since he came back from suspension, he had a couple of ordinary games, but he's slowly starting to work. He's not in as destructive form as what he was before he got suspended, but he's getting better. Hopefully he can sort of, once he puts the maroon jersey on, that will sort of spark him to put better form or to just be a little bit better club-wise. Because they rely on him and Tino and Mo Fotowakala. They're three formidable forwards.
Yeah.
Well,
State of Origin forwards. But
that's right.
When you've got a 16-point lead, your halves are the ones that are supposed to close out a game.
No, regardless that's right. Poor play by everybody else.
But as a halves, you can't keep playing like to score as many points. You score one try and then they sort of just shut it down. Really? And they didn't. And that's not fully thing.
They haven't shown a lot of resolve defensively this year anyway. So
that's exactly right. And that's why I can't, like, Jaden Campbell, unfortunately, well, he's still new, so his defense is going to have defensive lapses.
It's his third first grade
Preston, game. Throw to Preston. He's probably going to be like Preston when you have those defensive lapses. Like, he's tall enough, but
he also needs to be hitting the local McDonald's to sort of get and I'm sure if he's going to be a fixture in the first grade side for years to come, which I don't see how unless they're going to put him out on the wings or anything like that. He needs to hit the gym.
We'll finish on the Origin sides. I mean, New South Wales is literally untouched, except for they've got the 19 players they've added,
Angus Crichton and Dallas Finucane. That was purely because, I mean, they were in the first side, so their side's untouched.
Well,
and formidable.
Formidable. Like Jake Trbojevic is gone, so they've just put Junior Paulo up
as a
into the starting prop position, and you bring in Angus Crichton. So it's what, like you said, formidable.
Yeah.
Going to be extremely, extremely hard to beat, even at Suncorp.
Your side.
So what did I say last week? Sweeping changes.
And well, it wasn't a lot of sweeping changes, but weird changes. I mean, well, the glaringly, we always say your 1-7-9 in your biggest three positions. Yeah, the 7 was never going to change, but your one change to one Reece Walsh.
18-year-old.
And the number 9 is, oh, I can't remember how old he is, but Andrew McCullough.
Well, I think he's 31.
And you've got, I forgot to name him, Francis Marlowe on the bench.
Look, big Frankie Marlowe. That one sort of come out of left field a little bit, and we all know why he got selected, because Paul Green is the coach, and he's really liked him over the last couple of years. He loves it. He loves it. But, you know, congratulations for Frank and for Reece Walsh to be getting into the Origin squads.
And on the 19 reserve, I forgot to mention him, at least to you off air, Ronaldo Motolito.
Molitano.
I think that's handy.
A bit of back line cover. I don't think Xavier Coates deserve to be dropped, like, in all honesty.
No, I agree as well. I like him. I think he's still young and... No, Xavier Coates didn't need to be dropped.
I thought you could almost run back the same back line as what happened, and maybe have... I think that the more... Not so much dynamic, but I think you could have used Walsh as your interchange player and had Ben Hunt as your dummy half and not even considered Andrew McCulloch.
Well, that's the left field one. What do you do there? That's the
he's
left
played
field
Origin one. Before. Like, I they're going that. For a little bit of experience. They're going to split. They'll split time between Hunt and McCulloch at dummy half. Josh Papali'i is back. That's a massive inclusion. And to me, all I can see is Queensland's plan is to go out there and bash the living crap out of New South Wales with three props on the bench.
Well, that's
to
right.
Just go out there and just try and pummel them into submission and to try and outwork and just muscle New South Wales out of this game. And that's all I can see, because now New South Wales has only got one specialised prop on the bench, and that's Payne Huss.
That's right.
So that's all it comes down to me is Paul Green has gone out there and said, all right, let's just go out there and just try and bash the living crap out of them, because that's our only chance. It's not a bad plan, but obviously certain things have got to go their way. But it's to me, and I think having three props on the bench is probably a little bit of overkill for Queensland. Oh, but
you could throw Fifita in the edges there.
No, that's right, and that's the thing. Fifita has been, according to this team sheet, has been dropped to the bench. So,
well, you don't think that's going to
happen?
You're
still, I don't know. Like Fifita as being an impact player. You only play him, say, 40 minutes, and you just go out there and go hard.
I don't see, from your 8 to 13, I don't see anybody else getting dropped to the bench, except for maybe Atino. Calafusi won't. Aro won't. Even though he probably
maybe Arrow, but I
thought... Well, definitely not. But Papali'i, definitely
no,
not.
No, so. Absolutely not. But...
Well, it's just key. I mean, I'm a Melbourne fan of that, but goddamn, he's consistent. If he wasn't injured, I guarantee if he wasn't injured, you would have been well more in that game than 56.
Yeah. Look, if because, they didn't have Papali'i because of... In the first game as well. So. If they had Lindsay Collins, like... Lindsay Collins is playing good this year for the Roosters, and then he goes down with injury. So prop stocks, are very thin, and they're basically, Queensland has just gone, right, here's guys that are semi in form here. Let's roll with it. Like, well, what have they got to lose? And Gus Gould has come out and called this move for Queensland to be picking Reece Walsh, a disgracefully weak move. Shut the F up. Like, get Get the hell out of here with that garbage. Come on, man. A disgracefully weak move. Piss off, Gould. I did a bit of a dig into it, right? So Reece Walsh has played 7 first grade games.
Yeah.
And he's the 4th youngest Origin player ever. So he's not even the youngest or anything of that. No. So they can get the hell out of here with that shit. It's Ben Eichen, 4 games of first grade. Before he played Origin.
Yeah.
1 Freddie Fittler, who would have been under the expert tutelage of one Gus Gould, played 12 first grade games before being selected for Origin. So you lose all credibility for Gus straight after that by bringing that sort of rubbish. Brett Dallas, 13 first grade games, and then Will Hoppawattie, 15 first grade games. It's not unheard of, and what in the blue hell is Queensland supposed to do? I still thought they should have ran back the same back line, but obviously so Greeny doesn't think so.
It's not unheard of, and I've got no problems with it because I thought he's probably going to get named. I honestly thought it may happen in the third one. And run back back the same team.
That's right. If you don't get the job done in game 2 and it's a dead rubber down there, free for all. Go for it. And what would have Gus's opinion been then? Because they're throwing him into the fire in this game and they're expecting the world of him. No. They can't expect the world from him.
No.
And if you do, you're a moron.
I would suspect he'll probably play. I honestly think he'll suspect he'll probably play the first 30 minutes there. If he looks like he's under, getting a
It's easy to hook him.
Throw him on the wing and put Holmes back there. That's how I think it's going
to
happen.
It's easy to hook him.
Unless he has a blinder. And, he is well worth
a chance. A possibility.
That happens.
It's a possibility. That
massive Queensland crowd behind you. It's very possible he could have a blinder.
Yeah, it's a sellout there at Suncorp. There'll be 52,000 plus there.
I'm going to pick New South Wales. But my thing is, I know people are saying Reece Walsh and that. I would not write off that. You have a balanced forward pack now. That's my key. I think for feet off the bench, I think having
I said that for Origin 1.
You did. And having Walsh and Papali'i there, I think you have
I didn't think Jaden Sewell deserved to be dropped
in. No, I don't think so either. Even if I throw McCullough in there, because he has the experience, you have a better balance, 8 to 13. And for feet coming off,
even the bench
is not that bad. That's what we... Well, look what we did in the first one. Everyone was saying we had a massive bench. We did have a massive bench. Now you've got a massive... I'm not going to pick them, but I would not write off Queensland at all. Especially a 13-plus. That's ridiculous.
No, that's it, yeah. Queensland a 13.5-point underdog. I think that's rich. That's
ridiculous.
I think that's rich.
Because I'm telling you now, your forward
pack... $4 for Queensland. That's cash.
Your forward pack is
balanced. That's like Tom Trbojevic. $2 for any time try scorer. That's cash.
This could be the game that Papali'i smashes out.
And then
come back and Cameron could then have a streak just because this could be the form game he needs.
He could absolutely run right.
I don't think they're going to win, but I don't think it's going to be what everybody thinks it's going to be. So, yeah. We're not too bad. Not doing too bad for time. So we'll finish on. Well, I think we mentioned them at the start, the Brisbane Broncos.
The clean out is begun.
So I mentioned during their game that Tavita Pangai on a $650,000 a year contract has been told that he can look elsewhere. He can. He could do a Darius Boyd and just say, nah, I'll just stay there and play in reserve grade. Not that Darius got played in reserve grade, but he could do that.
He could.
There's whispers. I mean, you've got more information on this, but there's whispers of a certain sort of player revolt. And now, you mentioned his name before, one Ben Eichen is now leaving NRL 360, which I didn't think was ever going to happen. Kind of makes
eight
sense.
Eight years or so that he's been doing that. See, that's the thing. When he was involved with the Cowboys up here, he was still doing NRL 360.
Yeah, but
this is obviously he's the head of football now.
So he's the head of football for the Brisbane Broncos. And I would dare say to him, they would have said, you're not going to be able to do both. You've got
well,
to
it
choose.
Didn't take them long to get unless the Ben Eichen thing was already in the works because
well, I thought
they
it
dumped
was,
Peter
I thought Nolan. It was always in the works. Wasn't he always
he was,
like
yeah.
the CEO candidate?
I think he was going to be,
football
yeah,
is pretty much
right.
the same thing at the end of the day. But
what does that really mean, though? Head of football.
Well,
I'm sure they've got a defined role that things that they do.
I know you mentioned it before, but it's what Phil Gould was at Penrith. You oversee everything, not just player movement. You see coaches overseeing. You see sponsors overseeing. You oversee everything.
You don't know how much money they could be. You know, A, being stunted by or losing with how bad they've been going.
I guarantee that. And then they wouldn't have the, you know, the luster of getting the sponsorship of the
That's
Friday
right.
night games. Because
exactly.
if they keep losing, people will like, not that they've been getting the Friday
they'll,
night
they'll,
games.
They'll eventually turn away.
So,
And that's yeah, Channel 9. Oof, that'll be hitting them in the hip pocket. They won't be able to charge exuberant amounts for advertising, you know, during Friday night football because, you know, the Broncos aren't drawing the eyeballs.
But the revolt there is just it's.
I don't get it. And from what I've heard, the player revolt there is from guys that are out the door. So I don't know how credible that is.
No.
So if these guys have been shown the door, they're going to be disgruntled. So and that's fair enough. And the other thing that I see,
I hate that. But so don't you hate that? But if they're disgruntled, there is a player revolt. They can do whatever they want because they're still going to get paid and they're going to be at the door. This, you know, they did it to Dearden. Dearden didn't say a word.
Huh? He just went and played. That's right. He just went and played Q Cup.
He didn't say a word. He didn't care. He said, you know, I'd like to.
Even Milford.
He said I wanted to keep playing for Broncos, not these other guys. But he said I wanted to play for Broncos. Yes, he knew he was on his way out, and then he sort of pushed for the Cowboys. But he. Drop him to reserve grade. Get him out of that first grade training session.
That's right, exactly.
Bring some
youth in there.
You don't need 10 minutes in the weight test to talk to someone to say, you know, what the hell's going on? What do you think going to Brisbane? This is all crap. You should move to X wherever where I'm going to move. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
That's right. Well, that's me. And then behind the scenes, all the players will be talking.
Of course
they do. So,
of course they do.
And that's fair enough. To me, I think the lofty expectations of the Brisbane Broncos, and they're, to me, it's being a victim of your own success, of the club, you know, that obviously was established in 1988, to have such success so early and continued success, that's a hard act to follow. And for the expectations of the past to be put onto these present day Broncos is clearly too much. Have a look at who the guys that they've got in the dressing rooms, in the coach's box. You've got Terry Madison, you've got John Cartwright, Petro Sivanisevi, you've got Steve Walters running
Corey
around, you've got Alfie running the water. You know, Alfie's the 14th player.
Corey Parker came back.
Look at all these guys that have been in the successful.
I think G. Miles is hanging around a good while.
It's unbelievable. And so, you'd think, who would not want to have Petro Sivanisevi in your ear?
So,
do you know what I mean? It's unbelievable
how they
want to play for him.
So hold up. So do you think it's more of a hindrance having him there, or do you think it's
I think it's a hard act to follow because if some of these guys can't handle the hard truths that then it's the expectation.
Yeah,
hey, you play at this club, that means you have to be representing your state, representing your country.
That's right.
Look at the past.
So
look at all of these crazy legends that we've had playing here. If you're not up to that, then you're not Broncos material.
But this is why I don't like having. I'm not against having old boys go to the game.
No, absolutely not.
But I don't like them having them. Langer's always. I'm not going to include Langer. Langer's been there from day one.
He's been around for 1,000 years.
He's always been the water. He I'm not including him.
Go on, you can say it. Water boy.
He's a water boy, but he's been there the whole time.
That's
these
good
other
party
ones,
eats through all.
These other ones coming in and out, you're right. You'd feel if I was a 20-year-old,
wouldn't that make you lift?
A 20-year-old, well, but then maybe it doesn't to these young guys anymore. Is a 20-year-old now with, you know what 20-year-olds are like now? I'm not saying, and I'm not talking about your NRL players.
It's Petro Sivanisevi.
I'm talking about. Just 20-year-old people in general are like now, and what they're like with all their stuff like
snowflakes.
So,
they can't handle the hard truths.
So
if they're playing like shit, Or don't tell them. Give him a little arm around the shoulder, going, "Oh, you're going all right." That's rubbish.
But that's what I'm saying. If some
people respond to it, others don't.
So, but what I'm getting at is, then do you want to see a Petra hanging around and going, "Oh God, I'm gonna have to live up to that expectation"?
Well, that's on the player.
I get that, but I'm saying, do you want to see that there as a player?
Yes.
Yeah, you do, because you and I do, because we're at that age. I don't think these young people do. I think they want to start their own. I'll call it legacy. I know they're young, but let's say they want to start their own legacy.
Clearly going well, isn't it?
And say, well, I just think the intimidation's from them too much, personally. I really do. I really think the intimidation's too much. I like having the older players there.
If you're gonna be the best of the best, you can't be intimidated by that. You can't be. You gotta rise to the occasion.
But you just said it 5 minutes ago. You just said don't be intimidated by it.
But if you don't play like I did
for Queensland, you don't play Australia, out the door.
That's right. So they're a victim
of their own success.
Of their own club's success.
So they need that's what I'm saying. I don't know if hanging these people
it's
around.
It's a counterbalance.
It is. It's a hard counterbalance. Because they've had these lofty expectations. They won the Wooden Spoon last year. It is. It's a hard counterbalance.
It's their longest premiership drought in history. 2006 was the last one.
I keep racking my brain. I know Reynolds is there. I just keep racking my brain of thinking what else they actually need that would change something in there.
A lot.
I know they need a lot.
Nico Hines, that's what they needed.
Well, that was a ridiculous move.
They whiffed. And there's reports out there as well that, why did Kevy let Reece Walsh go? And it's, he was only on like 60 grand. He was only on like 60 grand a year, like a minimum contract. And he's taken note of how many 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds that may be ready, may not be ready for first grade. He seemed to think that he needed at least another half a dozen or 10 games in the Q Cup before he could make the step up to first grade.
Yeah.
And is it the circumstance that he's in at the moment at the Warriors that's making him flourish?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you that if Tuivasa-Sheck wasn't going to rugby union, I don't know where Reece Walsh would be playing right now. Because Tuivasa-Sheck would 100,000 times be the fullback at the Warriors. And he would not be moving aside.
If Tuivasa-Sheck was staying in New Zealand, New Zealand would have came to Reece Walsh. I guarantee they wouldn't have came to Reece Walsh. No. He would have
to make a hard play for him.
They wouldn't need to. Nope. So
really, the Broncos can blame Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's who we'll go with. not the old boys. We'll go with Tuivasa-Sheck.
It's all Tuivasa-Sheck's fault.
You hit it on the head. They're a victim of their own success. They need to be pegged down and realise, okay, we're not the team we used to be.
But it's such... They're only in a grand final. And to say, okay, that might be living a little bit more in the past. They're only in a grand final in 2015.
But look, it's easy.
But that seems like an eternity ago.
And look at the ball. It is 6 years ago. But look at the players that they had on that side. You had your Ben Hunts.
Anthony Milford.
You had your Anthony Milford. Your Darius Boyd was in the prime of his career. So they're a victim of their own success. They really realise that there's just not 17 players, that...
And the clean out will continue this year.
They want to play for Broncos. That's the other thing.
They all want to boo-hoo about, the recruitment and everything like that. The recruitment team's going to go in there and work for a change rather than everyone just bashing the door down going, "Hey, I want to be a Bronco." It doesn't work that way anymore.
I'm not going to go into so much detail that I know, because I do know something, and I won't say too much, but...
A tease!
But what I'm saying is, knowing someone that gets calls from clubs about junior players, the Broncos do exactly what you've been saying that they do. I'll put it that way, is that they see certain players that make certain areas, and they think, yeah, we'll just take them because...
That's right, because we're the Brisbane Broncos. Who doesn't want to come and play for us?
Where you're from Queensland... You're 15, you're massive, you made a Queensland side, that means you should be playing for Brisbane.
Yeah, absolutely. Screw the Gold Coast, North Queensland Cowboys.
They don't do the extra work that Cowboys and the Gold Coast.
They don't do
the extra work that the Sydney teams do.
They've been used to just people frothing to try and get to play for the Broncos and busting the door down. I'm sure there's other bits to it,
but I know that is a little bit of a fact.
That's absolutely a fact.
That's less and less calls that this person gets because of that. Because of they just think they basically
go there and work for a change.
Well, that's the thing. They won't leave Brisbane. They'll happy for people to go to the carnivals in Brisbane and sell. They'll see there.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
If you're a talent scout, you got to go out there and earn a paycheck.
Yeah. Well, that will do it. Going on the clock, looking at the clock, if that clock is correct, I would say. Don't forget to follow us in follow our socials, Twitter at Final Play Pod.
Too many Great Norns.
No, too many secret location areas.
too much room service.
Too much room service. We've got certain people here. I'm not even going to name names, but there's certain. Let's say football players here, but anyway, and obviously,
are they really?
Well, they are.
They play that other weird code.
Contact players, and then don't forget Facebook, as always. Final Play Podcast, where you'll see all our podcast links, including gimco.com.au, where you'll see every single podcast from one to. This is the 150th. I just thought I'd throw that in there. By the way,
I wish we had some fanfare we could have put out there, but. Yeah, look, you know, Gimco is always great to us. So, they support us, we support them. So, you know, that's it's a nice little happy relationship that we've got. So,
You support
Mojo.
Them,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you need to start supporting them more.
Yeah, you support them
monetarily.
Serious money.
I do. Not as much as what I used to, but Mojo King has been. Sleepless nights, staying up watching the Euros. He's fully invested in what's happening with the Euros this year. So
I hope he's not a Pommy fan because
I think he's got a very big soft spot for England. So they could be in a lot of trouble after being drawing nil all to Scotland.
Of course, he does.
Yeah, that's real ordinary. And always cheers to Dom and Mojo King for putting us out there. So. Have a look at those guys, gimco.com.au, and check out their Facebook page and Eureka Sports Cards. So always lots of it's very AFL centric, but they do NFL breaks, Major League Baseball, NBA, NRL, everything. Yeah. Hasn't been a WWE one for a while. So if you're listening, Mojo King, let's bust out some more WWE. Let's get some Topps Chrome or some Topps Finest.
Maybe you need to buy it and then do a break and see if someone pays.
Oh my god! No, don't let me in charge of WWE.
Don't let you go down the tunnel of that.
No,
okay.
No, that's a rabbit hole that I absolutely do not need to be going down.
Yes, you do. I'm gonna finish it off. What if Jason Miles needs to go down that rabbit hole of WWE?
Absolutely not.
Eureka.com.au. Smith.
Absolutely not. Yes, Miles. Jason's had too many Great Northern Plum.
I've had one! One bottle.
That's one bottle that we can see right now.
Yeah. Oh, how many chip beams you've had?
They're littered all over this place. What are you talking about? You need to pick up your living quarters around here.
I need room service. Alright, have a good week, everyone.
Room service. See ya.